This is a pretty interesting topic, and I think it's something that some of you may have some passing familiarity with, and certainly we can identify with some of the issues that were brought up in our first presentation today. So my objectives for this presentation are up there, that you would be able to describe the role of money in Eastville beliefs and to be able to discuss the Freirean model of empowerment, as we're going to discuss this in terms of the formation of a physical activity intervention for Latinas. Okay, the purpose of this is a qualitative descriptive study using something called culture circles, which I'm going to talk about a little bit more in just a second. And the purpose of the study is to co-design and inform a pilot physical activity intervention, which is now in the formation stages, for low-income immigrant Hispanic women. And as we mentioned, this is there's actually two studies in here, but what I'm going to talk about is study number one of the two studies. The term culture circles comes from Paulo Freire's work, which serves as the conceptual framework for the study, and I'm going to talk about that just more in just a second. In terms of the background, this has been an interest of mine for a while, dating back to some my dissertation research, which was development of a physical activity intervention with Black and Hispanic college-age women. And there have been various hypotheses that have been advanced to explain the lack of physical activity among Hispanic women. And one of these is the construct called marianismo. And marianismo basically is a cultural concept that describes the influence of cultural beliefs on gender role identity. The root of this word, it is really sort of the feminine counterpart of machismo in Hispanic culture. And the root of this word, if you look, Marian, comes from Mary. It is a commonly held belief that women pattern their behavior in emulation of the Virgin Mother of Mary, and that she is the perfect mother. This is not a belief that has any official approval by the Catholic Church, but it is one that has become commonly associated with Hispanic women. And some of the characteristics of this construct, although it is fairly complex, have to do with prioritization of familial responsibilities above your own self-care, self-sacrifice, and this concept of an elevated motherhood. I should say that that this construct is articulated and understood in different ways within many different spheres of society. And for example, we have issues related to socioeconomic status and immigration status and liberal acculturation that can really put a different spin on the concept of marianismo. The conceptual framework for the study was Paulo Freire's empowerment model, which was based on his work in adult literacy in Brazil. Some of you are probably familiar with this work. It's sometimes referred to as popular or empowerment education, and it's become the basis for health education programs throughout much of Latin America and to some extent in the United States. He really believed that the purpose of education is human liberation, so that there's a purpose for all of this process beyond just learning things. And he focuses on the concept of structured dialogue, which is a process where everyone in the educational process participates as a co-learner. So one of the things that we talk about in the Formadora training program that I'm involved in is that everybody is a teacher and everybody is a learner, that there's really very a lot of blurring between those two roles. This is an example of the Freirean structured dialogue model, and the first two activities on there, listening and dialogue, are basically the components of study number one that I'm going to talk about, where the action piece is really the intervention the study is leading up to. The methods that I used in this study were a mini-ethnography, and we called it a mini-ethnography, this is Leininger's term, to talk about a shorter-term ethnographic study that did not use participant observation. We basically only used focus group interviews, or what Freire terms as culture circle interviews. And they're a little bit different than focus groups in that the discussions take place in more of a naturalistic setting, and the leader of the focus group is much less a leader and more of a facilitator. I know when I first started to do this type of research, I was much more actively involved in throwing out questions, and I felt like I was running a marketing focus group. And now when I run these groups, I'm much more laid back, and I just throw out ideas and sort of let the discussion sort of emerge from the group. So it's much more interesting dynamics. This is an example of a community-based participatory research study that I'm partnering with the Salvation Army. We used purposive sampling. They were first-generation Latinas. These women were all mostly recent immigrants to the United States, 2 to 3 years or less, although we had a few women in this study who were here for about 9 or 10 years. They were age 18 to 40 years old, and there were 28 women. One of the really interesting things about this study is the particular area that I'm working at in New Brunswick has had a large surge in Mexican immigrants in the last 5 years. And I suspected that many of these women would be from Mexico. And as you can see, of the 28 women, they were from 14 different Latin American countries. So we in New Jersey have a very, very diverse Hispanic population. Traditionally, New Jersey has been very much Puerto Rican and Dominican, but that very much changed even in the last 5 to 6 years. The women went in 2 focus group sessions or 2 culture circle sessions. And we really based the groups on the working status of the women, because the women who did not work outside the home had some very different issues about why they found it difficult to exercise or engage in physical activity than the women who did work outside the home, and had some very different issues about what their life was like and some struggles that they were having. I used Spradley's developmental research sequence to collect the data and to analyze the culture circle data. This is just a sort of a summary of this, and I won't go into all of it, but I like this because of the EMIC perspective here. This is especially important from a group of people who are seldom heard from, as immigrant women often are. And using the EMIC perspective forces the researcher to pay attention to the informant's understanding of the meaning of their experiences, not developing your own understanding and superimposing this on what the group is telling you. Something I'm going to get to in a second, one of the drawbacks of this is because there is a focus on ethno-semantic analysis, it's tough because these focus groups or these culture circles were all done in Spanish. So we had to pay particular attention to the translation and the back translation of the transcripts so that we made sure we got exactly what the women were saying. This is just the steps of Spradley's DRS. There's 12 steps. I don't want to go through this because it's a very detailed process, but it's an interesting type of data analysis. Some of the reliability issues that we have to attend to, you need to have good rapport with your informants. Purposive sampling was used here using a key informant. We had 2 different key informants that we used, and they really helped us a lot to attract participants into the study. We repeated the questions with different informants to see if the answers were consistent, listened to the responses to check if we have correct understanding, and I remember doing quite a bit of that paraphrasing. And as I mentioned, this is a mini ethnography. Some of the other issues relating to reliability, each group had 1 moderator and 1 co-moderator. Both of them were bilingual, and I worked as the recorder, and while I'm not bilingual, I'm proficient in Spanish. We also had a bilingual transcriptionist who was kind enough to come to the culture circle settings and assist us with taping things so that when she later had to transcribe the data, she had been there, and it was a tremendous asset. This woman is just a real treasure to have. And then after each one of these sessions, we had a debriefing session where all of us sat down with our field notes and went over issues and talked about these things before we left. These are my preliminary results. I needed to analyze the data on a preliminary basis in order to start working on the intervention. I'm currently in the process of developing the Promotora training program, and then we're hoping to start the intervention in February. So I did this preliminary data analysis by hand. Once I get the intervention started, I'm going to go back and do a more thorough analysis and probably use Ethnograph to do that. But we came up with 2 domains. The first one was that the woman is the center of the family, and that truly is a concept that really is related to Marianismo beliefs, that for better or worse, the woman controls all of family life, and the successes and the failures of the family are attributed to the mother. So if your kids are a success, it's because they had a wonderful mother. If they turn out to be drug addicts, that's your fault too, you know? And this is a bit of a problem. Some of the included terms that I identified in the analysis, the first one there, that family is a priority. Again, this was an issue in relationship to physical activity because the activities of family members definitely took precedent over the self-care activities of a woman. And these didn't have to necessarily be things that went on right in the home. I mean, we often think about child care, particularly infant care, but they could be, you know, making phone calls to relatives that had problems. The sphere of family influence was much larger than just the nuclear family. The second one was women's work and men's work. A lot of the women commented that when a man has a job, the focus of his life is the job. But many of these women had not worked outside the home prior to coming to the United States. And this was a big transition for them. And one of the things they felt like was that the woman's work has to be, or the woman's job is fitted into the rest of her life. And that men have a luxury of being able to focus more on their own job. And when a woman has to fit it in, it leaves less time for everything else. And again, these women were highly driven by a financial need to work, so this was a big issue. Low self-esteem was another thing that was brought up. Many of the women, to paraphrase them, said that they were brought up not to expect much and that they didn't deserve much out of life, so that whatever they got. That was it, you know. The cultural themes that I identified from this particular domain were that women change and men don't. And many of the women expressed a concern that when they came to this country, they very quickly picked up on the idea that they needed to change certain aspects of their behavior to accommodate and to fit in, and that their husbands were not willing to do that. And this was very difficult for them. They kept saying, "What happened to the wife I had?" And this was very difficult. The second one is a woman makes a man what he is. This topic came up over and over again, and it wasn't just within the success of the man that the man is successful because he's got his wife behind him. It was that it is the responsibility of the woman to get her husband to change. And this is very much a piece that's related to Marianismo thinking, because part of Marianismo, the concept includes the idea that there is something about women that is inherently superior to men, that they are morally and emotionally and just superior to men. So it is their responsibility to make men change. And if your husband doesn't get in line, it's your fault. And this was a tough kind of concept to wrap around. And then the last cultural theme from this one had to do with our mothers. Many of these women identified the fact that they had very little in the way of role models for taking care of themselves at all in terms of their own physical needs, but particularly with physical activity. So there was a lot of low self-efficacy for exercise. The second domain had to do with more with the acculturation process and how that made it difficult for them. And that was basically that life is too fast here, that daily life is much more complex than where many of these women came from. And regardless of the fact that they were from a variety of Latin American countries, they tended to be an immigration that came from rural areas to an urban area, New Brunswick being fairly urban. So some of the included terms here had to do with isolation. These women expressed a lot of lack of social support from family and friends that they left behind. There was a big fear of crime. A common expression that people used was that I feel like a prisionera. I'm a prisoner in my own house. I can't leave because I'm so concerned about crime and what that can happen to me and my family. And again, this rural to urban adaptation. No time for me, basically, that these multiple roles that this woman now had to assume, all that she did at home, but now with work on top of it, left her very little time for herself, particularly for physical activity. And one of the things that was interesting, this theme came up again in a previous study that I had done, that people don't have a lot of time to think about their own health, and they grieve that. It isn't that they don't want to think about it. They know they need to think about it, but they have very little time to think about it. I'd done a previous study with some older women, and this was even a more of a concern with them because they knew they were on the verge of developing health problems if they didn't do something about this. Living in America, basically this had to do with role overload. They felt that everybody in America is on a hamster wheel to some extent, that they are constantly bombarded with more tasks to do, nobody to help them do it, and this big need to make money. So in many ways, they felt they were just fitting in with what everybody else was doing. And this making the day longer was an attempt to try and get everything done in the course of the day, and what was being sacrificed is things like sleep, eating, and certainly physical activity. The conclusions to this: women definitely prioritized their family responsibilities above their own needs, and they were expressing rollover load associated with the stress of acculturation. They grieved the loss of female support systems in the United States, and they felt isolated. But this does not seem to be, these preliminary findings suggest that money and these beliefs are not necessarily the only factor influencing physical activity patterns of women. And there's a definite issue with social support, with acculturation stress, and with this collectivist versus individual orientation. And I just summarized these on the slide. I won't go through these, but some characteristics, collectivism versus individualism. These are all sources of acculturation stress, and I can tell you that the women in these two groups talked about all of them at one point in time. They were major issues with acculturation stress. The implications for this intervention, how we can build on this idea of woman as center of the family. If she is the center of the family and she is the authority, and can she become the authority and role model for good family health? We felt this was particularly an issue because many of these women were very worried about their own kids becoming obese and sedentary, and so that by setting a good role model for them, this would be one way to handle that. We need to think about building social support networks. We need to address factors related to acculturation stress among women and their families. And we also need, or some way needs to, and this is something that the Salvation Army is working on, looking at sources of social support for immigrant men, because many of them really do have a very difficult time adjusting to value orientations in this country. It's very different than it is in many Latin American countries. The other implications were to keep this local. What we're going to do is to have the small exercise groups within the community itself, probably within the school system, because many of these women have small children. Child care is a huge issue. We really had to reschedule some of our classes around in order to get babysitting. We need to be able to stay flexible, and we need to build trust and show respect. And this was a major issue because we're working with a lot of women who are undocumented.